Hi, hello, welcome to another episode of the Gaze Into the Blue Light podcast. The podcast in which me, your host Steve, I update my friends on what I've been watching, movies, TV, what I've been, any games I've been playing, and books I've been reading, all those wonderful things that involve that blue light, that comforting blue aura emanating from your digital devices. Welcome. Gaze into the blue light. Someone recently referred to me as the, what was it? Gibbler in chief? Giblet, giblets, G-I-B-L, gibblers, gibbler. They're a gibbler, a.k.a. Kimmy Gibbler. Anyway, if this is the first time you're listening to this podcast, I'm sorry. We've been talking about Kimmy Gibbler for a while now. And if you happen to know the actress that plays Kimmy Gibbler. And I'm about to remind myself of what her name is, Andrea Barber. She's on Full House then and now. Because this is the GIBL podcast, and we're all Gibblers here. Gibblers? I'm not sure. I think I like Gibblers better. If you know Andrea Barber, we'd love to have her on the show. I'm sure she would have some interesting things to say. Anyway, I'm already off on a ridiculous tangent here. I have a really fun show today. I'm excited. Long list of things to talk about. Two graphic novels, Grand Theft Horse, and then I guess you'd call Miss Marvel a comic. But it's the first of a series, of a storyline of Miss Marvel, the Kamala Khan series. Don't know much about comics, but I'm trying to get into it a little bit, so that'll be my first foray into that on the show. And I also want to talk about a really good anime visual album, Sturgill Simpson Presents Sound and Fury, that I found on Netflix, and I've also been trying to get into anime, so I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Super fun. I also have some listener emails introducing the Gaze into the Blue Light mailbag. Got a couple good emails, a couple things on Twitter I want to talk about. I'm here. I got a hot cup of coffee here. I'm ready to get going. Let's get to it. All right. Episode 13. Lucky episode 13. Thank you for being here. I know there's other places you could be. Other things you could be doing. Other things you could be listening to, but you're here, and I appreciate that. It's been this has been fun 13 episodes. How you going? I think that's what they say in Australia, and apparently I do have listeners in Australia. I was looking at the Anchor website. I have listeners in Australia, and I think there they say, "How you going?" Which I like. I also have new listeners from the UK, Scotland specifically. Welcome. Thanks for listening. Also, thank you, Canada. British Columbia, Quebec, Alberta, Newfoundland, and Labrador. The last one is Newfoundland and Labrador, which is really cool. I'm glad you're here. I have a feeling, well, I don't actually know why you're here, but it's probably because you mistakenly stumbled upon this and you're quickly X-ing out of it. But thank you to the Canadians that are with us. You're welcome here. I'm gonna be nice to you because I may eventually be asking to come live in your country. Speaking of that, big news here in the States. Inauguration Day was this week. That was fun. Did you watch? Are you excited? Are you angry? Do you feel cheated? I accept you all here. I personally am excited. I like that we, even though I don't always agree, I like that we get a change of scenery every 4 or 8 years. We at least go through the ceremonies. And I think that's a good thing, to switch things up. And I'm excited about this kind of some boring time. I'm kind of excited for our politics to be a little bit boring. But I'm also excited because I think, and I'm sure other people feel this way, over the last 4 years, we've kind of found ourselves getting more interested in what's going on and reading more and learning more about how our, at least here in the States, how our political system works. And the major players, the minor players. So I've been reading more about it, learning more, listening more, and trying to learn about how better ways to get involved, make a difference, etc. So I'm excited about what these next 4 years will bring. I'm excited about Kamala Harris making history as the vice president. I don't know, a lot to kind of look forward to. And at least speaking as a U.S. citizen, I'm excited about hopefully not being considered to be a wild and crazy, gun-toting crazy person that's walking in the streets. We're not all like that. So I'm excited about the next 4 years and what it will bring. What else has been going on? This is a podcast where I update my friends. So, I've been doing Dry January. The countdown is on. We're almost done. We're almost out of it. I have stayed true. I have not had any booze in the month of January. There have been several times when I very much wanted to have some. The storming of our Capitol building on January 6th, I almost had a drink, but decided not to and survived. Inauguration Day, I wanted to celebrate with an alcoholic beverage, and I did not. I also survived that. My wife and I put an offer in on a house, and that got accepted, and we're moving through the process of that, home buying, which is also exciting, and I wanted to celebrate with an alcoholic beverage, and I did not. Which has been kind of cool. It was kind of a little bit of a bummer. Oh, boo-hoo, we can't do it. But at the same time, it's been kind of cool to be like, you know what? These things that you thought had to be intimately associated with alcohol, you don't necessarily have to be, you know? And I have to say there have been some positives as I'm looking back. I think I will have one more episode in January next weekend where I wanted to reflect a little bit more on my dry January. But I don't know. It's been good so far. And there have been some positives. Namely, the end of having to figure out, We need a bottle of wine for tonight. I want to get a six-pack of beer. And where I live, it's kind of like not exactly convenient to just pop around the corner and grab beer. You have to kind of like walk a little ways or drive down to the grocery store. I don't know. So that kind of like, what do you call that? It's not really anything annoying. It's just kind of a bother to be like, all right, well, it's nighttime. I need to have some beer. It's Friday. I should be drinking. I have to go get some beer, go grab some, whatever. The expensive wine store is closer. The cheaper wine is 2 miles away. What should I do? I don't really feel like walking, et cetera, et cetera. All that's kind of gone, which has been kind of nice. A little breathing room. But anyway, that's just how dry January's been going. A little more on that later. I've been slowly working my way through Barack Obama's book, A Promised Land. It's been really good. I am enjoying it a lot. And it's matching up nicely with our new transition of presidential power. I'm learning a lot. It's been fun to... well, I guess fun probably isn't the right word. It's been eye-opening to read about his experience as president and talking about, you know, the different big moments that defined at least his first term in this book. And I know myself, I was 2007, 2008, 2009 in there as he was running for office and then first elected. And I think I was... I don't know how old I was, 27, 28, 29, somewhere in there. And it was kind of the first time that I had been following what's been going on in that big historic election. And so, and presidency. So it's been cool to be like, oh yeah, the beer summit. Weird. I forgot about that. And kind of hearing his story behind that. Things like that. So that's been good, but I'm not done yet. About halfway through, so we'll talk about that on the show at a later date. I've been working my way through Marvel Spider-Man on my PS4. So far, it's been really good. I feel like such an old person when I say this. I figured out how to share photos and videos of my gameplay, which was kind of fun, and it's a good game to do that on because it's really beautiful. Although I have heard that the PS5 version is even better, which is pretty amazing to me that it could be better. But the PS4 version is set in New York City, the skylines, the buildings, the trees, the action sequences, swinging through the city is just, it's fun, it's smooth. So I've been playing around with recording and taking snapshots of the game, which has been kind of fun. And posting those up on Twitter, which has been pretty cool. What else? Sheesh, that's about it. Working way through the school year. Next week, we're halfway, which is hard to believe. We're halfway through the school year. It's been strange, all online. I don't go in the classroom at all. Little murmurings about educator vaccinations and starting to get back in the classrooms here in the spring, but as with all those murmurings are primarily based on politics and not on science, which, hey, I get it. Everybody's got a boss, and you want to prove to your boss that you're working. And so it's just like when you work at an office and the boss walks by and you change tabs to your Excel spreadsheet when you've actually just been reading articles on Huffington Post. I think our local education bosses are reading Huffington Post, and then their bosses are coming by, and so they've got to have something in hand to say that they've been working and that they have plans, when really they just really don't know. And can they be blamed? I mean, a lot of us just really don't know. So we'll see what happens with that. But That's an update on Steve's life. Really exciting. Really exciting. Well, Scrappy's out of here. He was hanging out for a little bit and he's like, this is boring. I'm done. Let's go real quick. Super exciting. I want to go to the Gaze Into the Blue Light mailbag. Mailbag. Let's see. I had emails brought up. I got a great email from Karen. Longtime listener, longtime supporter. She says, hi, friends. This last article made me think of you right away since I'm on drink three of your dry January epi. Thought you'd appreciate it. Ooh, okay. Yeah, that was, what episode was that? Not 12, but 11, I think, where food, wine, and travel correspondent Nikki brought by some dry January drinks for us to sample. And this is the email she shared is from Eye on Design. Oh, interesting. Oh, design, art, graphic design, etc. Branding. Okay, so the article is low and no alcohol drinks are serving up some of the best label design right now. Who needs booze when you've got these bottles? Very cool. So it's from A-G-A, Eye on Design. Is that right? I'll put the link in the show's description. iondesign.aiga.org. Very cool. And so it's got some examples of non-alcoholic beverages and their bottles with their labels that are just amazing. So if you are into design, labels, branding, etc., these are some really cool examples. Or if you're interested in expanding your non-alcoholic options on your bar, these are really good recommendations. Herby aperitifs, low ABV sippers, like this current Cassis, which is cool. They make an interesting point about how if you're gonna launch a booze brand, it needs to be Instagrammable, which is an interesting element to label design. This one here, current Cassis, guessing, has a great label, but it also has the, I'm noticing it has the wax dipped top, like a bottle of Maker's Mark, which is pretty cool. That's a nice touch. Low ABV spirits. And then this last one, which I'll be talking about later, is the label by, this is who did it. Doyle Partners. Oh, I get it now. Doyle Partners did the label for Brooklyn Brewery's Special Effects, which is non-alcoholic beer. And actually, I did flip through this article yesterday. And when I went to the grocery store, I saw this on the shelf in the beer section. And I have to say, the can, the label, was exactly what I saw first. It is green, yellow, is it? Like a light green, dark green, and yellow. All ziggy zaggy, crazy, zany can effect there, and it stands out on the shelf for sure. And the article calls it unapologetically loud and designed to stand out among the increasingly crowded world of NA beers. And that's exactly what it did, because I was actually really surprised that there were like four or five different options for NA beer on the beer shelf at my local grocery store. I was really surprised about that. I thought it would be kind of tough to find or like nothing really exciting, but this was my local grocery store and it had this, so I'm gonna taste one later in the show. I have it in my refrigerator as we speak. So thank you, Karen, for that. That's really cool. And thank you for listening. Anyone else, if you're listening and you have any interesting articles or questions or ideas to send along, feel free to shoot me an email. yourhoststeve at gmail.com. That's yourhoststeve at gmail.com. And I'd love to check it out and read it on the show. Thank you, Karen, for that email. Much appreciated. Let's see. We have another one? I thought we had another one. Oh, yeah. And another one from Mario. Longtime listener. Longtime supporter. He responded to my little shout-out request for game recommendations. Phone game recommendations. I put that out on Twitter, too, and got a couple awesome recommendations. So I'm going to do that, too, as part of the mailbag. So Mario says, I prefer phone games of the totally mindless variety, and for my money, there isn't a more brain-dead game than Crossy Road, which for us older folk is just Frogger on crank. And I would go so far as to say, for your money, as far as I know, that game's free. So, you know, I mean, we don't have a lot of money to spend. Crossy Road is a great option, and it is a lot like Frogger. I have played it. I do have it. I suck at it. I have to kind of, you know, hey, your preferences, Mario, are your preferences. You like the mindless games, and that's fine. A lot of people do, and there's nothing wrong with that. And with Crossy Road, it's really just tapping and swiping as you cross complicated cityscapes. The high-speed train when you get hit by the train. That's kind of fun. You stick to the side of the truck. That's fun. But see, I suck at those kind of games. I'm not any good. I'm a very accomplishment-oriented person. And Crossy Road does not give me the feeling that I'm accomplishing anything. It gives me the feeling that I tried and then I suck at it. And then I try again and then I suck then too. And then I try it again and then I'm tired of just losing. I just don't have the patience for it. But it is very visually pleasing. There's a lot of fun stuff to look at, I gotta say. It's very busy. It's very mind-occupying. And you said brain dead game. See, that's where I disagree. I mean, it doesn't involve a whole lot of complicated mechanics, but there's a lot to think about in there. But it is just tapping and swiping. I need more. I need to like slowly level up or something or get better because I'm just really not very good at games. Just inherently like I'm not a person that can just like pick up a game and be good at it. And I don't like to fail. I need like a lot of time to build a character, or I need a story of some kind. That's just my personal preferences. Anyway, but thank you for that. And shameless promo, Mario, and this is only because this is at the bottom of your email. Hey, you promote yourself, buddy. Mario Zucca Illustration. If you're interested in checking out his illustration, you should go to mariozucca.com. That's MarioZucca.com. Lots of cool stuff on there. Things for sale, illustrations. You should also check out mariozuccamaps.com. mariozuccamaps.com. I've never looked at this. Oh, Mario, hand-drawn maps by Mario Zucca. Explore these highly detailed maps of your favorite cities and tourist destinations. Very cool. We've got Detroit, Buffalo, Kansas City, national parks, among others. Fantastic. You should go check it out. MarioZuccaMaps.com. Thank you, Mario, for your phone game suggestion. Let's also switch over to Twitter real quick because I know I got a couple on there. Let's see here. Phone games. I go in and out with phone games. At altering weeks, I could have my phone filled up with different games and I'm playing them a lot. And then I get frustrated and then I delete them and I don't play them. I kind of go back and forth, but I'll get to some of my favorites here in a second. So, Stu and Al Pod from Twitter, the Stu and Al Podcast. Thank you so much for responding to my question about phone games. They are at Stu_and_Al_pod. Great podcast. Fun to listen to them. A couple of funny guys chatting over things. I highly recommend checking out the Stu and Al podcast. And the game, best game they have right now is Among Us. Among Us. I have to say, I do like the game. I've only played a little bit on the online version. I mostly played just like using a code, a private game with friends, which I like. I have taken a spin playing the online version, which I know is hugely popular and people are loving it. It was unfortunate because I played a couple games. And when you play online, right, that you just get matched up into a game with a bunch of other people. So someone out there is hosting a game, you just join it with random people from somewhere in the world, I don't know. You just kind of play. I did a couple. It was okay. There's not a whole lot to think about in there, but it is kind of fun. It's got, if you haven't played Among Us, you should definitely try it. I like the little puzzle games are kind of fun to go through and figure out. Unfortunately, on my one experience, we were in the, I don't know what you call it, when you're waiting for the game to start, holding bay, I don't know. It's like all the different players are in there waiting to for the game to begin. And you can chat with people and someone put a very disturbing chat up there, and it's disgusting. I'm not sure what people just decide that they can put garbage up if they're anonymous. It was like, I don't know. I've seen a lot and I've heard a lot, and I was just like, oh God, okay then. Wow, you are a sick person. So I left. It's really unfortunate. So I would rather play private games, which I think is a cool option that you don't necessarily have to play with all those weirdos out there. But yes, Among Us, definitely good, definitely fun. And another game where you can sit down for a couple minutes and then all of a sudden you've been like wrapped up into a bunch of them. It moves fast. I'm a big fan. Thank you, Stu and Al Podcast. Give their podcast a listen. Thank you for sending your game recommendation. Also, Keith Campbell from Twitter at Capture a Second is his Twitter handle, at Capture a Second. Thank you, Keith, for suggesting a game and responding to my tweet. Marina Militaire. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Marina Militaire. I had never heard of this one, but I did download it. I did download it, Keith, and I checked it out, and I'm going to keep it. It was really interesting. I downloaded it on my phone. It was not what I expected. It's like a full naval simulator, right? I only played it for maybe like, I don't know, 30 minutes or so, just kind of messing around with it. But it's very realistic. There's a lot to get into on there. I just kind of like drove a ship around for a little bit. I did not get too far into it. But I was actually pretty impressed. It was like definitely not of the mindless variety. There was a lot going on in that game. And I have a feeling that once you get involved in it, you could seriously waste some time in there. So I appreciate that. If you're into Navy things, military things, there's lots of ships. They're all, as far as I could tell, at least they did a good job fooling me. They're all like real ships, you know, like aircraft carriers and destroyers and all different kinds of stuff. And you got to drive the ships around and I mean, it was not like, maybe there's more to it, but it was not very like gamey. It was more like a simulator, and you could kind of choose between the two options. If anybody else downloads this, let me know, because I'm going to be messing around with it a little bit more. So that was cool. See, that's why I like to do this stuff. You hear about stuff I never would have looked for that before, but so check those out. So Mario recommends Crossy Road. Keith from, I'm on Twitter at Capture a Second. Keith says Marina Militaire, Naval Simulator. It was very cool. And the Stu and Al podcast recommends Among Us. I gotta say, for my best game, I have a few. I go back and forth with Clash of Clans. I started playing it a while ago, and then I deleted it, and I started playing it again, and deleted it again. But I did start playing it again when I got my Kindle Fire tablet. It works really well on a larger screen, I think. I like it on the tablet screen better. It's, you know, pretty simple. It's been around for a long time. It's kind of like, I don't know what category you'd put it in. I don't know if it's a tower defense type game. I know that's kind of a category of game, but anyway, you kind of build your little village with its defenses and walls and mines and things of that nature, and then you have your little different kinds of troops, and you can attack other people's villages and whatnot. I don't really, the thing that I like the most about it is just building my little village. I have to like check on my little village a couple times a day. And kind of along those lines of like, I like to build things, and in games at least, I like, this is a little bit weird, but I like things to be symmetrical. I'm sorry, that's just how I am. I like things to be like perfectly symmetrical on all sides. And when you make your little village, you can like make everything match. And I'm kind of obsessed with that. I don't do so much attacking or battling. I just kind of like move my walls around and like design my little things because I just like how it looks. I do like that one. I also have been playing Tetris on my phone. And I haven't yet played around with the Play Tetris with Friends option, but I do want to try that out at some point. It's like the kind of the standard Tetris, so updated a little bit. The graphics on it are a little bit different. It's not the standard old school, but you can play the like marathon Tetris like just like back in the old days on your Game Boy. Although I don't know how many people had a Game Boy, but I definitely had a Game Boy with the big brick, the white brick Game Boy with the all gray and yellow screen and the little gray game you slid down into the back. I've been playing that on my phone. It's fun. Nice distraction. But you can play with friends. I don't know how that works. You can also play like online games with lots of different people. And like Last Man Standing sort of thing, where you start with a bunch of people and then people get eliminated and the goal is to be the last one. So that's interesting. You can also play for money somehow. I don't know. I didn't try that one yet. But you can get on at certain times in the evening and win money. I don't know. Possibility, if that's something that you're into. That closes the official Gaze Into the Blue Light mailbag. That was fun. Good emails. Thank you, Mario. Thank you, Karen, for your emails to the show. If you ever want to email anything to the show, suggestions for what to watch, what to read, questions, helpful links, etc., please do that. Always appreciated. Love to chat about it on the show. Interesting experiences. I don't know. Whatever. I'll take it. I don't care. It's just nice to read something. yourhoststeve@gmail.com. The email is in the show description if you missed it. Also, you can find us on Twitter at GIBL Podcast. Always putting interesting things on there. Send me something there. Amazing. Fun. I'm out of coffee. I drank it all. After the break, I want to talk about these two graphic novels / comic book items, things, books, whatever. I read them. And also about Sturgill Simpson's Sound and Fury. Yeah, I'll be back. Let me take a break. Hello, all right, here we go, back from the break. Let's do this thing. I want to talk about the two graphic novel, or a graphic novel and comic book I read, and I want to talk about Sturgill Simpson's Sound and Fury. What should I do first? How about Sturgill Simpson's Sound and Fury? Boy, that was weird. First, I want to crack into a beverage. Talking so long makes me feel parched. I want to drink in keeping with Dry January. Trying one of these beers that was from Karen's email. Brooklyn Brewery's Special Effects. The can is super cool. It's actually blue and yellow, the can that I have. Very zany, wacky, eye-catching can. Label. Ooh, it's delicious. Golden color. It's just a non-alcoholic hoppy brew. There's no, like, whether it's IPA or an ale or anything like that. But it's very good. It's got like a... this tastes kind of like an ale. Very vaguely like a, it's kind of got a tea flavor to it. I like it. Rather than just kind of being like a... just trying to be a beer. To me, it just tastes like a... I don't know. Tastes like a refreshing carbonated beverage. To me. Anyway, that's Brooklyn's Special Effects. Contains less than 0.5% alcohol. Really cool can from Brooklyn Brewery, Utica, New York. It's very tasty. It's got nice golden amber color, nice head to it. Kind of sweet, malty flavor. I don't think that it does have a lot of hops, although if they are, they're not the fruity, piney kind, citrusy kind. They're more of a spearmint tea kind of flavor profile. Very tasty. That's gonna help me cruise through these three things. Thank you, Brooklyn Brewery Special Effects Hoppy Brew. What was I talking about? Sturgill Simpson's Sound and Fury. This showed up on my Netflix recommendations. I have been looking for more anime type stuff. That's probably why it showed up. This technically is an anime. Netflix calls it a anime visual album that goes along with Sturgill Simpson's new album, Sound and Fury. I don't know if you're a Sturgill Simpson fan or not, but I would recommend it. Sturgill Simpson is in the country large broad category, but a lot of his music, in my opinion, goes into the more hard rock. There's definitely psychedelic stuff in there, blues. There's some like hip hop and funk beats. It's just very eclectic sound across all of his different albums. I would also call it intelligent. This is not just kind of like run of the mill country music. He definitely takes things to a higher level. So I would definitely recommend checking out the Sturgill Simpson album Sound and Fury and the anime visual album on Netflix. Now, I don't know which you should do first. I think it would fall to the book versus movie debate. Are you a bit of a hardliner when it comes to you want to read the book first, then watch the show or movie, or you don't really care, you know, you could do them interchangeably. Sometimes if you watch the movie or the show and then read the book, then you kind of have the characters and the scenes in your mind while you read, and you don't really get to come up with it on your own, which I get. Similar with music. I watched the anime movie first and then listened to the music. It lends to me, it doesn't make it worse. I think it makes it better. I think it complements the music really well, but I do have that kind of visual in my mind as I listen to the music, which lends it a different kind of feeling, because the anime movie is dark and weird. It's weird in a good way. It's 41 minutes, basically a 41-minute music video. Mostly animated. So what happened was, as I understand from reading around on the internet, Sturgill Simpson made this album, and then to make a visual component to it, he kind of wrote a loose story that kind of goes along with the themes of the songs and gave it to anime. What would you call that? Studio in Japan, to kind of interpret the story as they wished. And I don't know what happened. I don't know the specifics, but what it seems like is that they took it to the studio and split the songs up and had different animation creators, illustrators, whatever, just go and like interpret it as they wished, however they thought was cool, and then come back and put it all together. Because with each song, the style changes and the story changes a little bit, which I think is cool. It keeps it, like when the songs transition, you get a new visual and a new style, which is really cool. It goes between kind of Mad Max, what was that? Fury Road, apocalyptic landscape car chases, and then there's kind of a live action part where someone in a hazmat suit's riding like a flaming skateboard through a post-apocalyptic cityscape, picking up little trinkets from a past civilization. I don't know, cool stuff. It was, if you're looking for something that's totally different from anything that you're watching, I would watch this. It's only 40 minutes. I actually watched it twice, because the first time I kind of ended it and was like, huh? What just happened? And then I watched it again a few days later, and things kind of made a little bit more sense. There is a kind of weird, disjointed storyline that follows through. There's the two bad guys, to me, this is all just my understanding of it. These two bad guys kind of represent society, like the business capitalist, consumerist evil side of society, and then the like entertainment, ridiculous, clown-like obsession with absurd entertainment is kind of the other side. This is my interpretation. And they're kind of like the villains in the story. They kill some samurai. One of the samurai that lives, it comes back and revenges everybody in a violent, very violent ways. There's probably more to it than that, but that's kind of what I got from it. Visually, it's just really cool. Like I said, Sturgill Simpson is cool. He's got like this, like the music and the sound is kind of psychedelic and like hard rock guitar, but his voice has got this like lonesome kind of country twang sound to it, mixed in with the anime and action. It sounds weird, but it worked. I think it works. It was really fun to watch and something different. So I would recommend that. And of course, listening to the album and listening to Sturgill Simpson. I'm not a huge music person. I do like music, but it's not something that I like actively get into, but I do like Sturgill Simpson, and I do like the anime visual album Sound and Fury on Netflix. You should check it out. Then you should email me and let me know what you think and make any other recommendations you think that I might like. Sound and Fury, Sturgill Simpson on Netflix. That's what I've been watching. Like I said, it was cool. I enjoyed it. Let's talk about this graphic novel. It's called Grand Theft Horse. So if this is your first time listening to the podcast, first of all, welcome. Second of all, I'm pretty happy that you're still here. Third, I'm a high school English teacher, and so I'm kind of always on the lookout for different stuff that my students might like. And so I ordered this graphic novel thinking, just a YA kind of thing, whatever. But I actually really like this. I would say it's for all ages. It's a complex story, full of lots of moral, ethical issues, up and downs, court cases, crimes, etc. This is not superhero stuff. This is a real life story that really happened. This person's kind of interpretation of all the events and experiences. Yeah, I liked it. But it is something that a teenager could definitely follow. I would say, I don't know, anywhere 12 and up could probably follow it. Like I said, it's not a whiz bang, super colorful, superhero story. And this one is all black and white. It's really well illustrated. It's illustrated by Corbin Wilkin is the illustrator. And I actually looked Corbin Wilkin up on the interwebs. He's an illustrator, comics artist based in London. Winner of some awards and whatnot. Well respected. His, portfolio, yes, that's the right word, is really cool. So if you want to see some of the illustrations from Grand Theft Horse, you can find Corbin Wilkin Comics and Illustration Portfolio. He has illustrations from Grand Theft Horse, as well as other things that he's worked on. So this would be a good place to see it and see if it would be something that you're into. I really like that it doesn't have a lot of color. I thought that the contrast of light and dark, for one, made it easy to read across, 200 some pages of illustrations. Made it easy to follow. And second, I thought that it really conveyed the emotions that were in this book. It's not a lot of fighting and action. It's more this one person's struggle to do good in the face of people that, they want to make money. The horse racing industry, it's kind of a one person against a larger things type story. Forces larger than herself. And so I thought the black and white really brought out the intensity and the emotion of it. And you can feel that when you look at these illustrations. So I was a big fan of that. The author is G. Neri, which is gneri.com. You can find out about G. Neri. Teen fiction for the real world is the byline here. Again, a teen would enjoy this, but I don't know. I liked it. I thought the story had real life applications and was complex on a lot of levels. He's got some awards under his belt and good stuff. That I'm interested in reading more of his stuff. I thought it was a really well-done story. It's the story of a woman named Gail Ruffu, R-U-F-F-U, and how she kind of grew up and became crazy into horses and became a horse trainer and then eventually became part owner and trainer of a racehorse. The racehorse, she thinks, is too young to race. The other owners want to see some money on their investment. They want to race the horse. Eventually the horse becomes injured and they still want to, you know, push this horse to race, even though it's injured. They want to use drugs on the horse. I didn't really know anything about horse racing or anything about that. It was really interesting in the afterword of the book. She writes a statistic from 2012, New York Times, 2012. In American horse racing, 24 race horses on average die every week on racetracks. 24 race horses on average die every week on racetracks. About 3,600 horses died racing or training inside state-regulated racetrack enclosures over the 3 years leading up to 2012. So there's a larger moral ethical issue going on here with animals and horse racing that you could sink your teeth into. There's a feel-good story of this woman that's just, you know, set on rescuing and saving this horse and changing the practice of how horses are trained and raced. So there's that whole thing. There's also a very kind of thick theme of legal and criminal aspects to this story. There's two sides to this story. You know, there's her thing about wanting to save this horse. There's the other side of the owners and the lawyers who are just trying, you know, they're in the book, they're kind of portrayed as, you know, kind of the antagonists of the story that are focused more on money. Overall, I thought it was a solid story. You end up cheering for her, cheering for the horse, learning about horses, etc. Actually, I was looking up a little bit about it online, and there's also a All Things Considered, an NPR All Things Considered story about it, an article about it, which kind of gives some different perspectives. So I would recommend checking that out. I will put the link in the episode description if you want to check out the All Things Considered story. I'll also put the Grand Theft Horse on our Goodreads page, where you can find all the different books that I've talked about on the show. Need another. Mm-hmm. That's a tasty beverage. Okay, let's talk about the comic book that I read. It is, and if you've been following along with this podcast, you know that I'm trying to get into the Marvel Universe. I know it's there, but it's been there for a long time, but I'm trying to get into it now. And so I purchased and read Ms. Marvel, a storyline of Ms. Marvel comics. This one is called No Normal, is the first of 10, I want to say. First of 10? Nine or 10. Maybe another one came out after this, but anyway. Published in October of 2014. This one is written by G. Willow Wilson, is the writer of this, No Normal. It's the first in the series where Ms. Marvel is a teenager named Kamala Khan, I believe, and she is a Muslim living in Jersey City, outside New York City. So it's a really cool, refreshing take on the Ms. Marvel character. The writer, G. Willow Wilson, is an American comics writer, prose author, essayist, journalist. She's well known for relaunching the Ms. Marvel title for Marvel Comics, starring 16-year-old Muslim superhero named Kamala Khan. So it's really cool. And she herself is Muslim. I'm not going to sit here and read her entire Wikipedia page. You can do that if you would like, but that is something that I was curious about, because one of the parts of the story that I really liked the best was the elements of Islam that are part of the story. And before I get into that, I want to show some love to our illustrators here, who it's illustrated by Adrian Alfana. And I looked up Adrian Alfana on Marvel.com, and she has done, or he, I don't know, they have done a lot of these Miss Marvel Kamala Khan issues, which is really cool, and a lot of stuff on Runaways. It seems like a lot of the Runaways series, which I'm not familiar with the Runaways series, but I do really like the illustration style, so I might check those out. But Alfana is the illustrator on a lot of these Miss Marvel Kamala Khans. So let's talk about the story real quick. This is a retooling on the Miss Marvel storyline. She's in Jersey City. Kamala is 16 years old. She's Muslim. She's living in Jersey City. And as the story starts, she doesn't have any superpowers. It's kind of like the origin, right? Where she first started. And I really like the interactions between her and her brother and her mother and her father. I don't know what it's like to be Muslim. I don't know what it's like to live in a house like this, but I really get a feel for it. They're sitting around the table, and I don't want to give it away, but it feels very authentic. This teenager struggle with identity and wanting to be herself and find out what's special about her, but also live in a household where, you know, she's very, she feels just really restricted. Her parents have really high expectations for her. She tries to go to parties. She can't eat the pork at the convenience store. She can't drink any beer. She feels like an outsider. I don't know. I thought it was really tasteful and cool how they incorporate it into the story. They give little translations when they talk about different types of food and different types of clothes. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. She, at least in this first issue, it's really unclear about, like, why she has her powers, some kind of mysterious fog. But it is really cool to see her kind of doing that superhero origin story thing where she wakes up one day and can do crazy things with her body and change how she looks and things like that. Another interesting element is just kind of that idea of playing with this really powerful young woman as the main character and as a superhero. It kind of puts all these traditional ideas about what women should look like when they're superheroes and how they should be dressed, kind of turns that on its head. She's dressed very conservatively, but still like super tough and super cool. And I don't know, it's just really cool. And another thing where, you know, you think this stuff is just for kids, but this is something that I think a lot of people should be reading. We should see more representation like this and these stories. And I really like the idea of opening these superhero stories up to a variety of different people from a variety of different backgrounds. I think it's really cool. This is just number one, No Normal, and I'm hoping to move on and read the other ones super soon. So I would recommend checking that out, or at least looking it up online. Miss Marvel, No Normal. Those are the two things I've been reading. That's it. Whew. Thanks everybody for listening, and a special thanks. Wait, don't leave yet. A special thanks to the show's supporters who are giving us listens every week. I really appreciate that. And texting me and emailing me and hitting me up on Twitter, I appreciate that. Big love to the show's supporters, supporting financially. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Robinsons. Elizabeth, for your monthly support. That's awesome. It keeps me motivated. And it's super cool. So thank you for doing that. The newest supporter of the... I'm gonna have some kind of like board of directors or something. You're my supporters. You get like final say on stuff. Let's see. What else? If you want to support the show, if you're feeling froggy, jump. There's a link to support the show in the show's description and the main show page. There's a link you can follow to do that. Other ways you can support the show is to just share it with someone that you think might like it. Keep listening. Yeah, that's cool. You can find us on Twitter. Leave us a review. Leave us. Yeah. Leave me, the show, a review and a rating on your podcast service, Apple Podcasts, etc. You can get, if you're listening on Spotify, you can go to the podcast show page and click follow and get notified when new episodes come out. You can subscribe on Apple. I think that's it. I am gonna maybe enjoy another one of these Brooklyn special effects. You have yourself a fantastic day. See you soon.